All right, welcome to the Take Up Code podcast. This is Waheed Tanner, and I'm at CPPCon this week. And awesome conference, by the way. You've heard me say that many times already. And I'm here today with Connor Hoekstra, a person heavily into the algorithms. And yeah, let's talk about some algorithms today. So you've given some talks about algorithms. Has it been just here, or have you been doing other talks on algorithms at different conferences?
So I've given one talk basically so far entitled Algorithm Intuition. I believe I've given it at two different meetups, one in the Bay Area and one in San Francisco, and then I gave it at two different conferences, this week on Monday at CPPCon 2019, and then I also previously gave a version of this talk at C++ Now back in May of 2019. It was the same content, but just a little bit shorter.
Okay. Now, I also saw your Lightning talk, and that one was kind of interesting because it seemed like you were gauging input from the audience about some future decisions coming up. Like naming and stuff. What do you got coming up that might involve algorithms?
So the question was, what do I have coming up that might involve algorithms?
Sure.
I am on the Canadian national body for ISO. So I guess my interest there is right now we have ranges that are coming in C++ 20. Right now it's sort of only 12 range adapters are getting added. So transform, reverse, several others. But in the future, we're going to be adding a lot of the algorithms and the range adapters that are in the Range V3 library that Eric Niebler, who works at Facebook, is the main author of. And my interest is I not only am just interested in C++, I consider myself a programming language enthusiast. And in other languages, they already have versions of these algorithms that are in the Range V3 library. And for me, it's really important that we get the naming of these correct, because the last thing we want is, you know, people coming from other languages and being confused by a unique name that we might have chosen that there's already precedence or prior art in other languages for that exact algorithm. So the Lightning talk was just highlighting three algorithms in Range V3 that actually exist pretty widely in other languages and sort of showing how they relate to each other and how we could be implementing them and sort of trying to be consistent or not consistent with certain languages. So in the future, sort of my hope is that going to committee meetings, I'll be able to have a voice and hopefully profile the different languages and what they decided and maybe what we can learn from them. And then, you know, hopefully that will influence C++ 23, 26, 29 and future standards.
Wow, that's looking quite far out there. That's the first time I think I've heard about 29.
it comes up. It comes up at the committee meetings, and I believe on the Reddit trip reports from the committee meetings, there are a few things that are sort of pessimistically targeted. So optimistically, it'll be 26, but pessimistically, it might end up in 29. So
cool.
The ISO committee, they are working towards the long-term future, definitely.
Okay, so where do you see these algorithms going? Do you see it like just adding a few new ones, or do you see adding variations of the new ones plus some existing ones? I guess I'm just saying, where would you see the major changes coming?
So I guess it's important to delineate the difference between the two different things that are coming with ranges. So initially, when I first learned about ranges, I thought was that it was just basically new versions of the existing algorithms in the algorithm and numeric headers that didn't take iterator pairs, but that would just take sort of the data structure. So instead of having to pass a vector by v.begin and v.end, you could just pass the vector, and the new ranges-based versions of the algorithms are going to work for that. But there's also, so that's the first part. The second part is the basically the ranges piping syntax, as I like to refer to it. And those come currently with adapters and in the future, potentially actions. And those are a whole new set of different algorithms. The range-based versions of the algorithms that currently exist in the numeric and algorithm header don't currently work with the piping syntax. So you can make them work with a little bit of boilerplate code, but the range adapters and the potential actions coming in the future, those are built to work with the piping syntax. And so that's where most of the algorithm I believe work is going to be happening. So we got a very small subset of what currently exists in Range V3. And so in the future, we can expect to see a lot more range adapters coming in, a lot more algorithms that are going to work, you know, right out of the library with the piping syntax.
All right. Now, I normally don't like to try reading code over the podcast, but I think it might be important to explain what is a piping syntax. At least something where, you know, without getting into, oh, you type this character, then that character, but just something. What is a piping syntax?
Yeah, so if people are familiar with other languages, a lot of this exists. It's referred to as several different things. I assume there's a lot of Linux developers out there that are familiar with the command line, and I think one of the first sort of languages that had it was basically just the command line. Currently I think most Ubuntu developers use Bash, but there's Zush and other ones. And when you can think of basically, you know, catting a file, so you basically cat out the output, and then you can pipe, you know, sort, and then you can pipe tr to transform it, and basically you take the output of an algorithm and pipe that to the next algorithm. So currently with STL algorithms, one of the constraints is that they're not very composable. So you might, if you wanted to say, an example problem is to, given a list of either words or integers, what's the number of unique elements sort of in that list, whether if it's of numbers or strings? So ignoring the fact that we have the unique std unique algorithm, one way to do it basically is to sort and then to basically do a group and then a head. So what sort does is it puts all the equal elements next to each other. Group by default will basically then create a list of lists of the equal elements, and then head will just take the first element of each of those sublists. So you can imagine if you start with the string or a list of string or characters A, B, C, A, B, C, A, B, C. If you sort that, you're going to get 3 A's, 3 B's, and then 3 C's. If you group that, you'll then end up with 3 sublists of the 3 A's, the 3 B's, and the 3 C's. And if you then take the head, which is just the first element of those lists, you end up with A, B, and C. And then you can just call a length on that. So in C++, STL algorithms, if you ignore the fact that we have std unique, it would be very difficult to sort, and then we don't really have a group algorithm. And then you would have to do some sort of just looking at the first a character with a bracket operators or something like that. But in Range V3, at least in future versions, we're going to get all those algorithms, and then you can basically just call your vector of characters, pipe that to sort, then pipe that to group, and then pipe that to transform head, and then pipe that to length, and you're going to be done. Okay. So it is a little bit hard to talk about over the air, but if people are familiar with the functional languages like Haskell or Scala or Clojure, all of them have this sort of function composition that we're getting with ranges.
Okay, so to put it in really simple terms, though, piping really just means you take the output of one, and you send it to the next one.
Yes, that is a much terser explanation of what I just did long-windedly.
No, but that was great because you gave a specific example with the A's, B's, and C's that I think worked well. So that was great. What type of algorithm do you think would be so maybe not algorithm, but let's say if you had to make a recommendation for if somebody wanted to learn just a handful of algorithms, because there are a lot of them, what do you think would be like in, and I recognize that you're sure there will be some use cases where people are going to need some esoteric algorithm for some, but if you had to recommend a handful of algorithms that say, hey, if you learn these algorithms, that would cover probably 80% of what you need. What do you think those would be? Or can it be broken down like that?
I think it can. I definitely have the algorithms that I always reach for, but probably the best way to answer this is by, in my opinion, at least just talking about the one single algorithm that I think is the most underappreciated in the STL algorithm / numeric headers, and that is std accumulate. So for those that are interested, an individual by the name of Ben Dean gave a talk, I believe it was 2016, plus or minus a year, at CPPCon called std accumulate, I believe, an algorithmic empire. And basically one of the points he makes in that talk is that almost all of the algorithms that you can find in the algorithm or numeric header are implementable in terms of this algorithm stood accumulate. So in other languages, it's more commonly known as a fold or a reduce. But basically, you can think of it as taking a list of elements and sort of reducing it or folding it down into a single element. So accumulate is what we call that in C++. But for example, you can think of max element or min element. Both of those are what we call reduction algorithms. You can imagine the default operation that comes with accumulate is plus, but if you overload that with maximum or minimum, you then get max element or min element. And I think learning to recognize that most of the algorithms are implementable in terms of this fold or reduce type algorithm is really, really useful, because then when you're looking at code, the next time you see like a for loop and you're initializing some variable right outside that for loop and then just sort of each iteration modifying the value, a lot of times that's a fold or a reduce, and you can replace that for loop with a std accumulate. So I think recognizing that a fold or reduce type algorithm is super important and they show up all over the place can really start to change the way that people write their C++ code.
Excellent. That's some great advice. All right, so we're coming up on about time. Do you have any final things you want to mention or talk about?
If there's one sort of thing I would say right at the end, it's that I would encourage people to try and learn a new programming language once a year. And if you don't have time for that, maybe just once every couple years. And you don't have to become an expert in these languages. Just starting to dabble in a different language from a different paradigm is going to completely change the way that you write your C++ code. Recently, over the last year, I've been learning Haskell, and it's been the most mind-blowing, fun, awesome thing to do. And I think I've ended up writing way cleaner, more declarative C++ code because of that. And I think learning a plethora of different languages over your career is really going to help you in the language that you are developing in day to day.
All right. Excellent advice. All right. Thank you, Connor.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.